Why do we still need libraries in an era when we all walk around with mini computers in our pockets? Well, John Palfrey can give you an earful. His new book, coming out in May, makes the case for the public library as more essential than ever, although the idea of the library is due for an update, he says. John Palfrey is the author of Bibliotech, Why Libraries Matter More Than Ever in the Age of Google. He spoke earlier this week at the Kansas City Public Library. And John, nice to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what about this central concern that so many folks have these days, John? Why are libraries needed these days in an era of smartphones when every answer is just a few clicks away?
Oh, there's so many reasons, and thank you for asking it in that way. I think that in the era of Google, it is one thing to get an answer to something, and I think we all have had that experience of having a great argument over dinner and being able to answer it by just pulling out your smartphone and Googling the answer. That's so different, though, than the kinds of things that libraries can do and ought to be able to do increasingly in a digital era. And I think it is more important than ever that we have these open and public spaces in our communities, including in places like Kansas City, where you have an amazing library. And I'm so excited about what libraries can do when they combine the digital and the analog in the future.
Well, what can they do? Give me a sense of that.
Well, I really saw a fair amount of this happening in your city. So yes. I think actually Kansas City Public Library is one of the great places where it's happening.
Great system. I think no question about it.
Amazing. And I really, it gives you a huge amount of hope for the future because it just can be done right there. And it's a combination, I think, of having a very inviting space in the middle of a city, in the branches, in communities where people can come and not be in a private space, not be in a place that's owned by any company or have any agenda other than to inform and engage and delight people. So I think having those physical spaces is so crucial, is so important, and you do it so well. But at the same time, in a digital era, there's so many more things that people can do with information and knowledge. And I'll focus just on one population, which is to say young people, teens, who are finding new ways to express themselves in a digital era. And that often means actually making information, making knowledge. And libraries are a great place to encourage kids to do that. So I think that there's a really interesting process that goes between when kids are so engaged in gaming and so forth, and then they realize they could actually make a game, or they're engaged in reading things on social media and they realize they can be practitioners, people actually make videos and so forth. And I think libraries as spaces and as communities and as staff in the sense of librarians can have a crucial role in that aspect of a kid's experience as they're growing up. So that's really where I think the physical space can come together with the digital and I think can add to just the strength of a culture.
Well, another reason you say that libraries are needed more than ever has to do with, you know, this more complex world of knowledge and information that we're in right now. You say it requires more guides, more guidance, more curators than ever before. What do you mean exactly by that, this idea of more guides?
Exactly. I think one of the many reasons why we need libraries and librarians as individuals more than ever is that there's so many more sources of information. And basically, I think that's a good thing, which is that you don't just have to go to Encyclopedia Britannica. Today, you have Wikipedia as one source, but you have lots and lots of other sources online of information. And actually, it's so important that people have a guide through that information and develop new kinds of skills to help discern between the credible and the less credible of information online. And you certainly see that among school kids who need to be able to figure out what to trust as a source. But I think that's true for all of us, no matter where we are in our life. And I think we are only seeing a proliferation of information sources online. And just being reliant on what Google puts number one in a search result, I think that's actually too thin a reed to cling to. That's why I think we need guides. Sometimes it's librarians as actually curators of information who present it in a really interesting way online or on a mobile device or really sifting through things. And sometimes it's someone who is actually physically there when you walk into a library who says, hey, let's look at these sources because they're really interesting. And much of what is great about in the digital era is actually not available freely on the web. It's actually something you have to subscribe to. And that's something that libraries are, I think, a hugely important resource to. Hmm. One of the things I found in Kansas City in the public library system is they're now working on making sure you can, through the library, check out software. So it's a really cool idea. Wow. That you could actually get at really interesting software that would allow you to do architecture or design or things like this that are out there, they're available, but they're extremely expensive. But libraries can be the guide to that and help you with it.
Well, let's get our listeners involved here. John, do you buy John Palfrey's notion here that libraries are needed more than ever, or do you think their time has come and gone? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. John, what are we seeing across the country when it comes to library usage? Is it on the way up? Is it going down? What are you seeing?
It's really remarkable. I think it's on the way up in most communities across America, and there have been some really terrific studies
about
it. It's
so counterintuitive, too.
Isn't it? Isn't it? On some level, it is, because you can get access to so much online. But I actually think that people are craving public spaces where they can go to and that bring communities together. And I also think part of it is that librarians are getting more clever about what they do to draw people in. So in Kansas City, just to brag about your system, I think they're doing 8 author events this month alone, which, yeah. When I was there, was, I don't know, maybe 150 people who were there to talk about the future of libraries, of all things. And they've got much more famous and better authors than I do coming. That's a simple thing. But then having these teen spaces, these spaces for kids, I was really impressed by the segment of the library, the main library, that was focused on entrepreneurship and job creation, which I know the Kauffman Foundation is a big supporter of in your city. So really thinking about what are the needs of these communities and how do we draw people in and support them in ways that are thoughtful and clever, and also kind of meet people where they are. I think it's just a great time for libraries right now. But at the same time, as you say, the public perception is sometimes we don't need this as much because we've got it covered with the internet, and it just turns out not to be true.
You know, it's interesting. When I talk to people, Kansas Cityans, about Kansas City, many of them will mention to you, even in casual conversation, you know, we've got a great library system. And I'm always sort of struck by that stands out to people as much as it does.
No, it's true. And you see, I mean, partly it's because you've invested in a beautiful building downtown. Partly
Incredible.
You've got 10 great branches. Partly because I think Crosby Kemper is a dynamic library leader. But it's also the case in Missouri, as you know, that the governor has proposed pretty substantial budget cuts to libraries, which would affect every library in the state. And so you get this weird cognitive dissonance, right? We have the greatest library system here, and it's so excited, and people are supportive of it. And I think we do too little in communities across America, in fact, directly to support our library, to speak back when people start making cuts, which are usually incredibly short money in the context of a state or a city budget. Where libraries, the payoff for that kind of investment is so huge, and it's civic pride for sure, but it's also helping people get the jobs they need and get economies moving and things that are really kind of fundamental educational services that libraries provide.
Well, Scott KCMO tweeted this at us. My wife checks out actual tangible books at least once a week, talking about libraries, obviously. Tom the Bomb tweeted this. Big ups to the library. Still a regular destination at my house. Let's go to some calls. And Stacy from Olathe. Stacy, you're on Up to Date with John Palfrey. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. You know, I joke that I'm doing my part to fund the library system $5 at a time through late fees. But I am of an age where research back when I was in college and grad school was done at an actual library. The internet was not up and running yet. One of the things why I always hope to actually have a physical library is because oftentimes I would think I was going to find one book. You know, we'd get out the card catalog, find that one book, go to the shelves, find it. But then to be able to look at the books that are around that book.
Yeah.
Whereas now on my smartphone, I can Google a piece of information and it will give me the answer to that one question that I thought I had. But just the physicality of a library and the stacks and being able to see, well, what else is around this one topic, I was invaluable, and I hope libraries never go away. My children are young, but they still love to go, and they see all the other books that were available. Yeah, sure, we think we're going to look at a book about dinosaurs, but we have to walk past the puppy dog section for, what about this? And so just the being able to see more than just that one piece of thing that I've gone to Google to find. So
that's interesting.
I hope libraries stick around.
I'm glad you called, Stacy. And John, that just, she raises a question in my mind. Is support for public libraries, does it cut all across the various demographic age groups, or is it confined more to older folks given our longer history with libraries, or what do you find?
It's not. It's remarkable, actually. And the usage in the United States, the wonderful group from Pew has done research nationally, and they've also done a study on Kansas City, is good news. They have found in many communities that the biggest users of libraries are teens and young people. Now, sometimes they're assigned to go there for homework, or they're, you know, part of a program. But we see great, great usage of libraries by young people, and it's certainly the encouragement of adults and wonderful parents. I know in downtown KC, one of the biggest users is a dad's group, a stay-at-home dad's group. I know across the country that, you know, that's a pretty consistent thing. So I actually think there's a pretty strong youth movement in favor of libraries, certainly elderly who rely on the library as a place to go to get materials, but also as for social reasons is a, you know, that's a very strong block. But I would say you'd be surprised at the consistency of the sport, you know, even across all age groups. That's a good thing. And Stacey, I'd love to speak to this idea of serendipity that you raised.
Yes.
I think one of the most important things that libraries do is that they stretch the mind and they present the unexpected. And I think we've all had that awesome experience of going in with a call number in your hand into the stacks and then seeing all these other books that you want, and you come out, you thought you were going to bring one book and you bring 12 books, and you're kind of laden with, you know, these books falling out of your arms. And I actually think that's one of the super important things about libraries in a physical age, but I think it will be true in the digital age too. And I think part of the challenge would be, could we in fact create some digital interfaces that would allow us to present that serendipity as well as in the physical space? And I feel like we could create for kids a new kind of nostalgia, a sense of actually going into a virtual library as well as a physical library, because they are increasingly doing that in important ways, and actually present them with the same kind of serendipity online. And I think it's possible. I don't think we've done it yet, but I think it'd be really interesting to go at that particular problem. But I couldn't agree more with the importance of serendipity.
And it's also a place to go have a conversation about books, right? I mean, it's hard to do that at Barnes & Noble. There aren't that many clerks in the building, but at a library, you can ask a question and have a conversation, which is something, an aspect of our retail culture that I really miss when it comes to music, when it comes to books. You can actually go talk to people, real people, about their own experiences.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm a big fan of independent bookstores, you know, in the same breath. And I think that the people who work and live, you know, around books,
amazing.
I think it's a great culture.
Yeah. 816-235-2888. Is there still a future for the public library, or has its time come and maybe gone? Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Russell from Blue Springs. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
This is wonderful program. I wanted to kick a tire here of you and your guests, and the common response to wanting to know someone or something is you go to Google. And I'm wondering if any test has ever been made or evaluation of the accuracy, the dependability, the unprejudiced values or the lack thereof of Google. Do so many people have become dependent on that as a quick answer, and I'm just wondering whether they slant their views, whether they don't. How do they rate by some objective measurement, if there is one, about answering questions in the broad categories they come in for people wanting information? How good, reliable a source this is, accurate, and so forth?
John?
It's a wonderful question, Russell, and a really increasingly important one, as we tend to default to this one particular source. And it's not to say people don't use Bing or Baidu in China, for instance, but Google really has such great market share for search. And I will say I am a big user of Google, and I love it. I don't know that there's a study that's exactly on your topic, but I will say in general, there is a very strong sense that Google does a great job in terms of surfacing relevant information, in the sense that by virtue of their PageRank system, there's a sense that it does get to information that is on the web that people need in a timely fashion. Now, the better they get at it, and this is where some of the bot comes in, the more creepy it can seem to some people. So you probably have been aware that there are concerns about privacy on the web, and there are concerns about the amount of information that's gathered about you. The more information that Google or any search provider has about you, the better they can tailor their search results to what they think you want. So actually, this is one of the reasons that I argue so strongly in favor of public libraries and public librarians, is even if you trust Google now, and actually I do, and I think the people who run Google are terrific, I don't believe that that's always going to be so. And because the PageRank algorithm is something that you can't really understand, it's, you know, it's subject to trade secrets and so forth, exactly your question, you can't ever know if something is being being biased or in what way it's being biased. I feel like part of the case for public libraries in this era and in any era of a democracy is you know there's no agenda of a public library other than trying to serve the public interest in the best way that the public librarians can express it. And that is such a crucial aspect of what libraries do. And by the way, they are the best privacy advocates out there, whereas we know that that's not a strong suit of Google's. So I think your question is a terrific one. And as we rely more and more on one or a couple of private sources, even if they're very good and very accurate, it may not be what's best for democracy. And I'm pretty sure that the public library has a crucial element in its charter to promote democracy.
Do most library patrons these days, John, do they use them just for free use of the library or a free use of the computer, or are they actually checking out books? What do you know about library usage these days?
Well, it does depend on communities, but in many, many cases, circulations of physical objects are up, not down in libraries. And increasingly, people are also using libraries to check out ebooks. So the use of a computer in a library is certainly a popular thing. I know the Kansas City Public Library downtown is outfitting a big room up on that second floor with a whole lot more computers, and those computers are almost in constant use in libraries, no question about it. But I think what you would be surprised at is the use of libraries in the really traditional fashion of circing, as libraries call it, or circulating books. DVDs, of course, very popular still. And you know, maybe as the formats change, as people tend to use less in form of physical objects like DVDs and more like Netflix or Amazon On Demand Video, it's going to move towards digital delivery, and libraries clearly have to make that pivot. But for right now, there's a whole lot of circulating of analog objects.
The typical library user, how often does he or she go to the actual library?
Well, your previous caller or one of the tweeters was mentioning coming once a week. That is not unusual, certainly for a heavy library user. So it does depend on the demographic. You certainly have kids who are going there more often if it's their after school place to go. And some parents have told me in the course of writing this book that they actually use the library as their babysitter. I think that's not exactly the intention of all libraries, but they basically said, you know, as a latchkey kid, you know, don't go home, go to your public library and then see you at 5 or 5:30 at home. So that's not at all uncommon. And then, of course, you have people who come, you know, once a month or once every couple months for an event or to check out an object. So it depends a lot on the demographics. But again, the numbers of people going into libraries for a variety of services is generally up, not down.
Let me go back to some phone calls here and go to Leslie from Kansas City, Missouri. Leslie, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I was just at Bluford at 31st and Prospect.
Yeah.
Crosby Kemper is using Bluford as a health and wellness initiative, and I'm a nonprofit organization, Inspired Minds Kansas City, and I do teen chat on Monday nights where I have anywhere up to 20 kids, mostly boys. The teens at Bluford tend to be there every day, and it is, they're at the computer, they're engaged with each other. It's almost like a community mental health center. And I just wanted to point that out, that Bluford is our test site, and I'm hoping to go into other branches. But kids are very eager for really positive adult attention, and they get that at the library.
Oh, that's great. Great comment, Leslie. Thank you for making it. I appreciate it.
I love it, Leslie.
Have a great day.
You point to both the answer to the previous question about frequency of usage, particularly among young people, but you also point to the importance of topics like health and wellness, which are things that I bet if you asked a library patron, 100 years ago, they wouldn't necessarily have thought about that as central to what the library's mission is.
Yeah.
But why I think Crosby Kemper is so brilliant as a library director and his team is that they're looking at, what are the needs of the community and how do we meet that? And, with respect to information
yes.
and knowledge. And that's, I think, a key approach.
You mentioned, John, that Governor Nixon, the legislature's considering cuts to libraries. What are we seeing across the country when it comes to, city council members cutting library budgets because of this belief that the public library has outlived its usefulness?
Well, what's happening in Missouri is not unusual across the country. There's a very similar fight a few years ago in Ohio, but we've seen, in the last year or so, fights in Chicago, in Miami. New York has been a sort of a perennial place where there have been arguments about public funding. And I really think that there, in many, many communities across the country, when people are looking at, police and fire and safety and other things that are absolutely crucial public services, the library is sometimes rate lower. And particularly in tough budget times. It's something that, that people turn and look to slash. But what is so great is that there really are political constituencies in many communities who are willing to argue about this. And as you may know, Crosby Kemper brought a group of young people, including his daughter and others, about 75 teens to the State House to argue about it. And I think that's been effective. There really is there's a very powerful constituency in favor of libraries. And I think it is possible to push back against cuts. And there, again, it's usually such short money compared to what we're spending on other services, and I think it pays off.
I thought libraries primarily were supported by, you know, city governments, not by the states. Where's my thinking wrong on that?
Oh, no, you're quite right. So most of the funding for libraries is municipal, so it comes from, you know, cities and towns and so forth. States do play a crucial role in providing some funding. So I think in the case of your Kansas City Public Library, I think it's on the order of a few hundred thousand dollars out of a budget in the tens of millions. So it's a relatively modest chunk that comes from the state. But money comes from the federal government as well. Something called the Institute for Museum and Library Services, IMLS. And that's often needs to be matched or leveraged basically by state money. So if you get a state cut, often that harms your federal situation in terms of supporting something like the city library you have. So you're quite right that the bulk of it comes locally. The good news is there are library philanthropists often in communities, Kauffman Foundation as an example in Kansas City that supports the library in addition to the city, but it's mostly public and local money.
Well, how big of a fight do libraries have on their hands right now then, John? I mean, are they fighting for their lives in some communities, or is that maybe being a little too dramatic?
I think that is it's a useful thing to say. I think it might be a tiny bit too dramatic. I think libraries are fighting for a place, though, in terms of the public dialogue in important ways that they shouldn't have to fight for, in my view. And I do think that they are too quickly on the chopping block for funding. I'm a fan of the Obama administration in general, but at a federal level, there have been cuts to school libraries, for instance. So even governments that you might think are, or politicians you think might be supportive, tend to cut library budgets pretty quickly. So for libraries, do I think they're going to go away or be totally defunded? No, absolutely not. They're sort of too crucial for that. But they are facing declining revenue sources at a time when, frankly, when we're talking about all these services they can provide, I actually think they need more funding to be able to provide both digital and analog services. And that is certainly not happening for libraries.
Sarah writes us this at KCUR up to date. How will defunding libraries affect economic disparity?
It's a great, great question. I feel one of the crucial things that libraries do is they provide access to everyone, free to all, for materials that are essential to citizenship. And one way to frame the library debate is it's a 1%, 99% debate. Those who have lots of free cash flow, and I'm grateful to be in that category, I can buy the books I want right to my Kindle or whatever information I want and have lots of broadband available to me and so forth. But there are many people, and there are communities in Kansas City where 70% of the people do not have broadband connections to home, and where there's not a lot of free cash flow to be able to buy those materials. And so from a really simple perspective, one of the things that libraries have done is they have closed that access divide. And I think it's also crucial to see it as a skills divide. What I see in my study of young people is that there's a really big divide between those kids who are online and very sophisticated about using technology to get information and those kids who are online, and they are, but they're doing unsophisticated things online. That's another gap, a very important digital literacy gap that libraries help to close.
Suzanne from Leawood, you're on with John Palfrey. His book, Bibliotech, Why Libraries Matter More Than Ever in the Age of Google. It'll be out soon. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Hi. Well, I think you partially answered my question
Yes.
in the last comment, but I want to say something about what about people who don't carry smartphones? I know a lot of really educated people who don't even carry smartphones. And phones, I feel, are more about facts and not knowledge, whereas a library is more about knowledge. And what about people of lower class who strive for a higher level of literacy? How is that ever going to happen through a telephone?
Yeah, John.
Absolutely. No, it's Suzanne, you're totally right on. And I take what you said as a statement and an accurate one rather than even a question. But let me amplify two of your points. One is, I think there is a distinction between information or data or facts and knowledge. And I think libraries are ultimately in the knowledge business. And I think you're quite right. We can get an answer, a quick answer to lots of things and relatively accurately, going back to Russell's point about Google and accuracy. But I think what libraries provide is something more fundamental and something more important, which is access to knowledge and doing that in context. And I do see it absolutely as an economic divide issue where having access to all of these resources in a context, in a way that's actually supportive, I think that's what a great library system like yours does. And I think it does it for anyone, regardless of their ability to pay. And that is just such an amazingly important concept. You look back in the annals of philanthropy, Andrew Carnegie did a lot of the important work around the turn of the century to get many communities set up with public libraries. And one of the things he was so focused on was, as a child, when he was not a person of means, the library was the place where he could get access to whatever he wanted to improve his situation. That was why he was so psyched about public libraries. And I think that exact same concept, whatever you think of Andrew Carnegie, that is still true today. And more important than ever, as that we have more immigrants coming to our country from other places who need the literacy and so forth that libraries can help provide, more people seeking jobs, libraries provide that very, very well.
John Palfrey is the author of Bibliotech, Why Libraries Matter More Than Ever in the Age of Google. And John, I really enjoyed our conversation. You did a great job, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It's a great topic.